Our scripture reading tonight is from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 18, reading to verse 1 of chapter 4. You can find this on page 984 of the Pew Bible, page 984. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 18. Hear now God's holy word. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And thus far the reading of God's holy word. The Heidelberg Catechism question 104 asks this: what does God require in the fifth commandment? And the answer they give is this: that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me, submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. So tonight we're going to look at the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And the Hebrew word for honor literally means to be heavy or to be weighty. And the figurative use of this word is by far the most common, and it conveys the idea of that which is weighty in the sense of being noteworthy or impressive. The word is often translated as honor or glory. It's the word that's used to refer to God's glory, especially as it is manifested by his presence in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the temple, and in his glory filling the earth. And this commandment says we are to honor our father and our mother. That obviously refers to our natural parents, our mom and our dad. As we say in Canada or in Britain, we say mum. Honor your mum and your dad. It also refers to other people as well, those who are older than you. Older persons, elderly persons, people of another generation, they are to be treated as fathers, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Those who are greater than you in a talent or gift. Joseph was honored as a father by Pharaoh because of his great wisdom and made him a ruler in Egypt. We show respect and honor to those who have a particular gift or talent. We defer to them. We honor them. We look up to them. If he's an authority in the sciences or in literature, we respect and honor what they have to say because of the skill and talent that they have. And Paul, of course, also says in Romans that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. But we are to honor especially those whom God has placed in authority over us, whether it's in the family with parents or whether it's in the church with elders. Elisha the prophet is called father in 2 Kings 13, 14. Or whether it's with respect to our country and the state, kings are called fathers in Isaiah. And 1 Peter 2:17 says to honor the king. And so the essence of this commandment is to respect and honor all those who deserve it, but especially those who are placed in authority over us. One who has been ordained by God to command or to require allegiance from us. That is somebody who's been placed in authority over us. We think, of course, as a parent or maybe a teacher, a policeman, things like that. And, of course, the honor that we will show will vary And it will depend upon whom we are honoring. The way you honor a parent will be different from the way you honor a teacher or a policeman or a politician and so on. But of course, the most fundamental relationship where this honor is to be given, where we first learn to honor those who are over us, is in the home. Honoring our parents is primary, and honoring them is important because by doing so, we learn how to honor others. You first learn to honor those above you in the home. And once you learn how to honor your parents, it will be easy to learn and know how to honor your teacher, a policeman, the president, so on. And so for these reasons, God probably summarized this duty as honoring your father and your mother, because that is the most basic one. And so we're going to focus tonight on how we are to honor our parents. And the fifth commandment, as stated in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, says to honor your father and your mother. Colossians 3:20 and Ephesians 6:1, Paul is more specific, and he commands children to obey their parents. And this is significant because it clearly tells us that children, young people living in the home and under the authority and care of their parents, they are to honor their parents by obeying them. Now, this is not the case, though, for all sons and daughters. Everyone is to honor their parents, but only children or young children or children in the home are required to obey their parents. But everyone is to honor their parents by showing them respect, by treating them kindly and lovingly. And this is going to involve, again, this is for everybody. This involves what we say to our parents. We're not going to issue commands or directives. We're not going to boss them around. We're not going to curse at them. We're going to respect them in the way we talk to them and by what we say to them. And so that will mean also that we won't gossip about them behind their back. We won't speak evil of them. We won't air their dirty laundry so that we can tear them down. We won't write biographies about them, exposing all their dirty laundry, as some children have done. It's also going to refer to how we talk to our parents, the tone that we use. We're not going to yell at them. We're not going to use a condescending tone with them. And also, of course, the way we communicate with our parents is not just what we say, but also how we use our body. You can communicate more than with words, and body language can say a lot. Where you're saying something when you rolled your eyes, aren't you? Or when you look away, or you're being inattentive, that's all communicating something. And we want to communicate respect and honor, not just with what we say and how we say it, but with how we use our body, how we communicate with our body. We're also going to show respect and honor when we talk to our parents. And so we're not going to interrupt them rudely, and we're going to respond promptly, and we're not going to walk away from them. But when they want to talk to us, we're going to seek to do that. Also, we're going to show respect by not manipulating our parents. Children can do this by playing one parent off another. They can also do this by crying and fussing until they get their way, by moping and pouting until they get their way. Older children can often employ more subtle means by trying to take their parents on a guilt trip to get their parents to do what they want to do. But regardless of how we do it, the point is simply this, that we should show respect and honor to our parents by not trying to take advantage of them or trying to manipulate them. We show respect and honor by listening to them, taking what they say to us very seriously, that we're attentive to what they say. We don't pretend to listen and just nod and but not really taking, not really hearing what they're having to say to us. So it goes in one ear or the other, but we receive and consider what they are saying to us. We show respect and honor because they're our parents. We also respect and honor our parents by actually having a relationship with them, not just with one of them, but with both of them. You don't honor or respect your parents if you ignore them, never talk to them, or have nothing to do with them. We also honor our parents by taking care of them when they need it. Paul says, if you don't take care of family, then you have denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. And so children, and that involves all of us, whether you are 6, 15, 25, or 65, you are to honor and respect your parents. And that will, of course, be shaped by who you are and what age you are and where you are in life and so on. But you're always to honor your mother and your father. As Kevin DeYoung puts it in his book on the Heidelberg Catechism, honor for parents has no statute of limitations. That's always the case. And so all of us are to honor and respect our parents, but not all children are required to honor them by obeying them. In verse 20, Paul has in mind children that are still under the authority of their parents, because in the parallel passage in Ephesians rather 6, he refers to children who are still being nurtured and trained. And this, of course, is supported by the rest of Scripture, which tells us that adult children are not required to obey their parents. We see this, for example, when children are married. And in marriage, a man is to cleave to his wife, and he's to leave his parents. And that involves, of course, not being under their authority anymore. But of course, one does not have to be married in order to leave one's parents. Jesus never married, and yet as an adult, he at times refused to do what his mother wanted him to do. But as a young boy, Jesus willingly submitted to his parents. And so when Paul says here in Colossians that children are to obey their parents in everything, he's obviously not talking about adult children. And I mention this in part because parents need to understand that the relationship with their children is going to change, and it needs to change. It's going to change from obedience to respect, from submission to deference, from under authority to responsible freedom. And as parents, we need to help and not hinder that change, and it can be kind of difficult to navigate those waters, of course, as they go through them, but they do need to help make that transition by treating their children according to their age and maturity, by imparting wisdom to them, and by training them to be godly so that they will exercise their freedom in a way that glorifies God. James Stalker, a minister in the Scottish Church in the 19th century, put it this way. Sacred as is the parent's right to the obedience of the child, there is a term to it. It is the office of the parent to train the child to independence. As the schoolmaster's aim ought to be to train his pupils to a stage where they are able to face the work of life without any more help from him, so parents have to recognize that there is a point at which their commands must cease and their children be allowed to choose and act for themselves. Love will not cease. Respect ought not to cease, but authority has to cease. And so, young people, as you grow and mature, your relationship with your parents will change. But while you are in the home and under the care and authority of your parents, you have to obey them. And that means if your mom or dad tell you to do something, then, of course, you need to do it. You don't have a choice in the matter. You are under their authority and are required to submit to their rules. And do notice that children are to obey their parents' rules, not the rules of their friends' parents. Right? Sometimes we might be tempted to say as a child, but John's parents don't make them do that. or Frank's parents allow them to play this game or to watch that movie. But of course, it doesn't matter what John or Frank or whoever parents do or not do, or how they parent or what they allow their child to do or not do, because you are not their child and they are not your parents. And your parents are responsible for their children. And as a child, you're responsible to obey your parents, not somebody else's parents. And notice, too, that Paul says here in Colossians that you obey your parents in all things. You don't get to pick and choose what you're going to obey your, when you're going to obey your parents. Now, of course, if your parents require you or command you or ask you to do something that is contrary to God's word, then you must obey God rather than man. But in all other things, you need to submit to them. And that means even when you disagree with them, even when you think that they aren't being fair or just. Now, of course, it's not always easy to obey parents or to obey any authority for that matter. And there will be times when you will not feel like it, when you don't like what you have to do, and or when you want to do something else. And so, whether you're a child or whether you're in the workplace or wherever, where you have to submit to authority, we can become quite creative in avoiding obeying that authority. And children can be quite creative in trying to disobey their parents. Again, children might argue or complain their way out of having to do what their parents are asking them to do. They might drag their heels, hoping to get out of it. We might make an excuse that's not proper or true to get out of it. We might pretend not to hear or understand or make some other excuse so that we don't have to do what we're being asked to do. But of course, God doesn't want us to use our creative talents or skill at debating, which he has given us, to avoid doing something that he wants us to do. And God wants us to submit, to honor, respect, obey our parents. But again, that can be hard. And so we want to look finally this evening at some reasons we are to honor our parents. And one reason is this. You should honor your parents because God commands you to do so. The foundational reason why you should show respect and honor to your mother and your father is not because they are perfect. It's not because they have earned your respect and honor. It's not because they go out of their way not to embarrass you or because they are cool parents and so you should show them respect. You don't honor or respect them because they are nice to you or because they give you what you want. I mean, some parents are good, some parents are bad. Many parents are in between. No parents are perfect, that is for sure. But neither are we. We aren't perfect children. And we all constantly need to love one another, be tender-hearted towards each other, forgiving one another, overlooking a multitude of sins, and so on. But the point is simply this. You don't respect your parents if or so long as they are godly and good or meet some standard. You respect them because God commands you to. It's that simple. And he is specifically chosen that particular mother and father to be your mother and father, and he wants you to honor and respect them. Jesus was perfect in all things, and he honored and respected and obeyed his imperfect parents. You know, it's been many years ago since this happened when Bill Clinton was president. But I remember watching on TV, he was given, I guess, the commencement speech at some college, and he was there handing out diplomas, and the students were taking their turn to go up on stage and shake the president's hand and receive their diploma, then walk off the stage. And there was one young man who showed complete disrespect for the president and refused to shake his hand and made a scene of it and walked off the stage. Now, Bill Clinton, as we know, is not a man that has earned a lot of respect by the way he acts, especially the way he treats women. But he's the president of the United States. And because of the office that he held, that young man should have shown him respect. And it's the same with our parents. They may not be honorable. They may do something that we don't like or that we think is not correct. But we always need to show respect, not because they are great and good, but because they are your mother and your father. And God says, honor your mother and your father. So that's the first reason why we should honor them. The second reason is because God enables us to keep this commandment. We are in Christ, after all. We obey in the Lord. God has redeemed us. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I've saved you. I've changed you. I've given you my spirit that you might be careful to keep my commandments and statutes. And so we are able to do so. And in Christ, God's commandments are no longer burdensome to us. They can be our delight. And we can see the goodness of God's commandments. We have been saved indeed to keep this commandment, and so we can. God enables us. He works in us that we might work out our salvation. A third reason why we should honor our parents is because in so doing, we are showing honor and respect to God. God's authority stands behind every other God-given authority, including that of our parents. And so to show respect and honor to your father and your mother, you are showing honor and respect to God. By the same token, when you disobey and show disrespect and dishonor, whether it's to your parents or to some other authority figure in your life, you are showing dishonor and disrespect to God because God stands behind that God-given authority figure in your life. So when you yell at your mother, you are yelling at God. That's what you're doing. And at the end of the day, we're not to honor our parents for our parents' sake, but for God's sake. And we to keep this commandment not as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ. And so we want to honor all authority figures because in so doing, we're showing respect and honor to God. And so if you find it hard to honor some authority figure in your life, you need to look beyond them and see God behind that and seek to honor them because you want to honor God and you know that God is good and gracious. And then finally, we should honor our parents because of the promise attached to keeping this commandment. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land or in the earth. Now, obviously, this promise is not mechanical, but you should not expect a long, trouble-free life if you are a rebellious and disrespectful child. Our larger catechism puts it this way. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment, the more to enforce it? The reason annexed to the fifth commandment in these words, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, is an express promise of long life and prosperity, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good, to all such as keep this commandment. There's a good reason to keep this commandment. Well, honoring your parents is foundational, and it's where we learn to give honor to all those who deserve it, in every sphere of life. But it seems to me that this is a commandment that we don't always, and perhaps even don't often, take all that seriously. In fact, I would go so far as to say that we could make a case, and that it's arguably the case, that this is America's besetting sin. In the land of the free, and with our typical independent spirit, we don't like to submit. We don't like being told what to do. We don't like to humble ourselves. We are quick to assert ourselves and not show honor in the way we talk, in the way we act, but rather to show that, you know, we are independent and we are free and we can do what we want. I mean, case in point, perhaps, is just look at how many people speak about their boss at work or how they treat their boss at work. Or look at how theological students speak about older notable pastors and theologians. There's just no respect or honor in the way they treat them. Again, referring to Kevin DeYoung in his book on the Heidelberg Catechism, at the end of his chapter on this Lord's Day, he asks this, how are we really doing? Good question to ask, I guess, on every commandment, but perhaps especially on this commandment. How are we really doing? Do we joyfully submit to parents, husbands, and the rule of law? Are we patient with pastors and senators and middle managers? Do we give glad respect to denominational executives, community chairpersons, and department heads? Do we take care of our aging parents without grumbling and complaining? Do we ever consider their feelings and desires above our own when making plans for the holidays? And then he asks this final question. Would we be happy if our young children treated us like we, now grown, treat our parents? Would we be happy if our young children treated us like we, now grown, treat our parents? There's a great question to ask to see how we are really doing. Well, may the Lord help us to understand what he requires of us with respect to this commandment, and may he forgive us when we break it, and may he enable us more and more to keep it. Let us pray. Lord our God, we do again thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We do pray, help us to understand what it means to honor our father and our mother, to honor all authority, and that we would not only understand it, but that we would obey it, that we, O Lord, might glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.